Our first reading for this sixth Sunday of Acts, is sixth Sunday of Easter, is from Acts chapter 16. I'm going to begin at verse 6 instead of verse 9. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony, and we remained in the city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 21. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And as I saw, no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, and in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from what is called the second missionary journey of Paul. Using Acts and Paul's letters, there are traditionally three missionary journeys, then a fourth journey to Rome. So this one is taking place around 49 AD. And this is one of those times that I wish you had a map that you could look at, because I think it might help make a bit of sense of what is written. I also added a couple of the preceding verses to the assigned reading, which will help make the overall point. The council at Jerusalem was the starting point for this journey. That council had settled the great early question of the church. Did one need to become a full-fledged Jew, following all of the rites and laws, in order to then to be a full-fledged Christian? Or was the church open to Gentiles as full members? Paul's teaching had prevailed. In Christ, there was neither Jew nor Greek. So you might have thought for Paul, flush from the success of both that first missionary journey that he had taken with Barnabas, and from his trip to Jerusalem to settle this great question, he might have wanted to have kept the band together. But apparently, this group was more like the Golden State Warriors, a great team that is just not completely stable, always with rumors of shedding key members. And when they got to Antioch, home base, Luke tells us there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separate from each other. Luke is a master of understanding. Barnabas takes Mark and sails away. Paul takes Silas and moves on, retracing some of his early steps over land, picking up Timothy along the way, and evidently also picking up Luke. Verse 10 is the first "we" passage in Acts. But when you look at the map of Paul's second journey, you might scratch your head. All of it is taking place in modern-day Turkey, and he's walking roughly right down the middle of it. And having walked through that part in the time called Phrygia and Galatia, and arriving in the second Antioch, spatially I'd say akin to St. Louis on the U.S. map, the natural choice would have been to head on over to Kansas City and then make a left-hand turn down to Oklahoma City into Dallas and then turn back through Nashville. That would have been the tour of what they call Asia. But the Holy Spirit denied this. And Paul and Silas and Timothy are walking north through nothing. They're going through places in Turkey like Perry County, Missouri, and my old hometown of Fulton, Illinois, or Clinton, Iowa. Now, this might have made sense if they were going to continue north and make a right-hand loop to go to Bithynia, Des Moines, Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis. But the Spirit doesn't allow that either. One might be forgiven for asking if Paul has turned gun-shy after this falling out, or if he's barnstorming cornfields in places so small they don't have a single-A baseball team to see how this new team of his comes together. But either way, they eventually run out of areas to walk and come to Troas, which sits on the Aegean Sea and is supposedly the remains of Troy, staring out across at Greece. And here, in the remains of old Troy, in Troas, Paul has the vision. Come over to Macedonia and help us. How often is life like that for us? We get a bit of success and then we self-destruct, not willing to reconcile. Mark left us on that first trip, Barnabas, and heck if I'm taking him on the second. But Paul, he's a kid. It was his first time away from home. Or cutting off our nose to spite our face. I'd rather stumble across every podunk village on the plains than find success with him. Or trying to do it our way, but always finding that road blocked for some reason. And eventually landing at a point of decision. Do we pack it in and go home? Or do we learn the lessons? And what had to have been a terribly frustrating and pointless walk, there's nothing recorded on this long walk. God offers Paul another chance. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Are you ready to work again, Paul? Are you ready to be faithful? And we, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, get in the boat and sail away the same way that Odysseus once left Troy. But unlike that Greek hero, this group meets favorable travelers. God is with them. No longer full of pride that had them bumbling, Paul ends up in Philippi, a huge town without enough Jews to have a real synagogue. They went down to the place of prayer, presumed to be by the riverside, and they found a group of women who had come together. What are you going to do, Paul? Does this small, mixed group of Jews and Gentiles of all women hurt your pride? Or have you come to Macedonia to help? And they sat down and they spoke to them. And Lydia, whom the Lord had opened her heart to listen to Paul's message, after she was baptized, and her whole household, asked the key question, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay. For what the Lord is after, from Paul, from Lydia, from any of his followers and disciples, is faithfulness. We might have our own plan. We might not want to work with that person. We might prefer these people. We might want to go into fat and rich Asia, or to turn the other way and go to interesting Bithynia. But when God comes, are we willing to be faithful? When the ask is to put down the power and the glory and to enter your own creation as a little child. He did it. When the ask is to grow up not in a palace or in temple courts, but in Nazareth. He did it. When the ask was to call disciples, to call disciples from fishermen and wayward hicks, not from the wise and the rich of the age. Jesus did it. When the path was the cross, Jesus was faithful. And Christ was faithful for all of the times that we aren't. For when we'd tell Barnabas to take off, I don't want to work with Mark again, instead of reconcile. For when we'd set out to prove the glories of our plan and end up going nowhere, and dragging some good friends along with us on that road to nowhere. For when we catch the vision but don't get up immediately and go. Jesus was faithful for all of those times that we are not. God remains faithful when we aren't. And the voice of the shepherd calls back his wandering sheep. And when we hear that voice, come over to Macedonia and help us, that's the moment that the kingdom comes to us also. God's kingdom certainly comes by itself. If Paul wasn't going to do this, God would have found somebody. He found Paul from the ranks of his rabid enemies, persecuting. He could find other stones to cry out. But it's when we hear that voice that the kingdom comes to us. Are we willing to be faithful? Are we willing to admit our own failings? Are we willing to reconcile and forgive those that we are called to be in communion with? Are we willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Both in the direct way, but also in the normal way, when we hear it coming out of the scriptures. Are we willing to pick up our cross and follow? Are we willing to help in whatever way that Spirit calls? Are we willing to be faithful? That is when the kingdom comes to us also. Lydia's words, I'm thinking, must have sounded like the gospel words of Jesus directly to Paul. If you've judged me to be faithful, come into my house and stay. Because that's the offer of Jesus Christ. If you have judged that Jesus, that God, has been faithful, come into his house and stay. If you have heard his absolution, your sins are forgiven, come and stay. If you have heard his faithfulness, take heart, I have overcome the world. Come and stay. If you've heard his call, ask and you will receive. Come and help. Come into his tents and stay. Because now we live in these temporary tents, but that cube city that Revelation describes is coming. That city prepared for all of the faithful of God. And that's it. It has no need of light or temple, because the Lamb himself is present in it. Be faithful. Come and stay. Lydia prevailed on Paul. Let Christ prevail on you. Amen.